You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff, the best way to start your sports weekend.
And it happened again in the UCLA game. They didn't care in the first half. They played lackadaisical, lazy basketball.
I have to put that on the coaching staff. You can't come out flat in a game like this when you have that long to prepare. You have that long of a time off. You have a rest. You're not tired.
Long term, I put it on the coaching staff because they lost this team somewhere along the way. They lost the respect of their players. They lost the ability to control their players. It was clear that the players did whatever they want.
Now, here's Dave Benton.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Become a fan of the show on Facebook at 1320WILS Weekend Kickoff, and you can also follow us on Twitter at WILS Weekend Kick. Dave Benton here with Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer, and it's time for a little news from the junk bin. And good Lord, do we have a full junk bin today full of absolutely ridiculous sports news. First of all, Qataris unveil artificial cloud plans. Now, for those of you who don't know, the 2022 FIFA World Cup is going to be held in Qatar. Now, it's a big-time controversy. The United States thought they were going to get this, and it is hinted that there might have been some buying of votes to get Qatar. Just hinted, just a tiny bit, that Qatar might have been. Because what's happened is, basically, Qatar got the World Cup in 2022, and ever since they got it, things have been changing with how they promised they were going to handle the World Cup. For instance, now they're claiming that they want to make it in January because it's going to be too hot during the summer months. They claimed that they were going to have air conditioners at every stadium, at the top of the stadium, that blew cold air into the stadium to cool everybody off. Well, now they have decided that they don't think the air conditioner technology can work, but they now have a technology to create fake clouds at every stadium and training ground that will cover the sun and make things cooler for everybody at the stadium. Now, here's the funny part. Each one of these clouds that is expected to last for roughly a day during the games is going to cost $500,000. Okay. So if you have 63 total World Cup games, multiply that by 500,000 plus everybody's training grounds, and whatever that is, multiply that by $500,000. How could they hope to make any money off this World Cup just on cloud creation alone?
Well, that's just over $30 million. And aren't you literally throwing money just into the wind? Because what happens if a strong breeze comes by? Are they going to put up big blockers to keep the wind away?
I don't know. This whole situation. When they announced that Russia was the 2018 World Cup, I thought it was a little fishy. Okay, but I could see it because Russia's never had the World Cup before, and so, you know, hey, hooray, Russia gets the World Cup. But when you have that many oil tycoons and that many dirty people handing around money, it's a little fishy. But then when they announced that Qatar was getting the World Cup, a tiny Middle Eastern country that doesn't even really have enough room to hold the entire World Cup, a nation where if you were caught drunk publicly, you are thrown in jail for 2 years. What do you think Irish soccer fans are going to do when they show up in Qatar and realize that if they are drunk in public, that they are going to get thrown in jail? And that you have all these situations, yet they give them the World Cup, and now we're figuring out that all the stuff that they were promising, and not bribing people, let me just throw that in there, all the stuff they were promising is not coming true, and now they're coming up with ridiculous technology like creating clouds over stadiums. Why not just build domes? You got to build all stadiums anyway. Why are you creating clouds just to show that you have the money to do it? The technology these days. The whole situation with Qatar getting this World Cup over the United States just really rubs me the wrong way because of the way that it was done and the fact that we all know that FIFA is dirty and FIFA was taking money, but we can't prove it, and they're just kind of flashing it in our face, and it's just very, very annoying. Another story that I thought we'd get to here, Mr. Ralph Nader, former presidential candidate, has made a comment that he believes the best way to handle college sports And to get rid of the element of players being motivated to go to professional sports early is to get rid of college scholarships for athletes. To get rid of athletic scholarships, Scott. I can think of a ton of things wrong with this idea. Number one being, if you're not going to pay for them to go to school, they're not going to go to school. They're just going to go over to Europe or something and play for a while and then go and play pro basketball. If we're talking basketball, if we're talking football. So if you're talking football, well, now you've got all these players that are not going to want to go play college football. And you might have a situation where the NFL creates developmental leagues and college football is completely faded out because who wants to go play football when they're not even going to get paid for it? It's difficult being a scholar athlete. It's difficult. There are a lot of hours involved in it. And if you're not even getting a scholarship to go play and you have to do this all on your own, what kid wants to go do that? Honestly.
Yeah, how many kids want to be in debt when they get out and are willing then to put in 4 years? Or what if a coach says, oh, we're going to redshirt you. We're going to make you pay for an extra year.
Not to mention, so you're going to take scholarships away from basketball and football? Are you going to take scholarships away from field hockey? You can take scholarships away from gymnastics, from swimming, from things like that. You can't just say we're going to take it away from these two because that's where players are threatened to go pro and are threatened to talk to agents and things like that and then not take it away from everywhere else. You just can't do it. And you're not going to tell me that they can afford to do sports, that people are going to want to come and play sports for free. It's just not going to happen.
Obviously, he didn't have to do anything for the money. That's painfully obvious. But he's naive in thinking that the kids are actually wanting to go to college for the education. It's like, sorry, Ralph, but that's low on the list for most people.
Quote from Nader, "It's time we step back and finally address the myth of amateurism surrounding big-time college football and basketball in this country. I'm pretty sure there isn't a myth. I'm pretty sure nobody really thinks it's amateurism. We know. Look at SEC football. Pretty much everybody's aware that they get paid. Okay? It's no secret. Okay? The NCAA isn't smart enough to find it out. But if you're going to sit here and tell me that 9 out of the 12 teams in the SEC aren't paying their players a decent amount of money, you're just naive. You just don't know what you're talking about because that's what's happening down there. Why did Ohio State get caught? Because Ohio State stinks at covering up this stuff. If they were in the SEC, they wouldn't get caught. The SEC knows how to cover their tracks. This is not an amateur type of game. And the fact is, you have these universities making millions and millions and millions of dollars at the expense of these players. And so now you're going to take away the one thing they were getting, which is a college scholarship, a college education for free, for all that they give back. Do I think college football players should be paid? I don't know. You know, I think there's some good points to it. I think there's some bad points to it. But at the very least, we should be giving them a free education for the millions of dollars that they are giving to the university. College basketball players, too. And if you're going to take that away from them, what's the motivation for playing college sports? There just is none. So Nader really needs to rethink when he talks about stuff like this. People, they just make comments that they just don't think it over. They just say it and think that it's a brilliant solution when they haven't taken more than 1 second to think about whether it is actually a good solution. One other thing I want to get to, some interesting stories coming out now about NFL teams and coaches that have been talking to their players, even though the collective bargaining agreement is up. And something that I found interesting, that Jim Harbaugh spoke with Alex Smith, quarterback at San Francisco, before the collective bargaining agreement is up. Yet the San Francisco 49ers are going to be fined by the league because he was speaking to them. I was not aware that when the collective bargaining agreement was still going that they weren't allowed to speak to the players anymore. Were you?
No, I had no clue. I figured there's still off-season workouts and everything like that because it hadn't disbanded yet. The union was still intact. And it should have been just like a regular offseason.
I don't understand why they're not allowed to talk to the players anyway. And, if coaches want to talk to players, they're not getting paid for it. So I don't know what the big deal is. I don't understand why that has to be a part of it. If there's no collective bargaining agreement, you're telling me people can't talk? They can't go watch film? Why are they allowed to go do all this stuff during optional training times when they're not supposed to be? It's not mandatory practice, but everybody shows up. Why does it have to be that you can't do this? Why can't it just be optional film sessions, optional this, optional that, away from the grounds that the NFL has provided?
Well, and there's the fact that these guys are still going to be under contract of that team once they come back. It's not like there's no NFL, we're starting fresh, you can't, that's tampering. It's your player, he's still going to be your player just when the new agreement gets signed.
And I think the NFL should be careful here with this kind of stuff, because let's face it, if you're a new head coach, let's take Josh McDaniels, now has Sam Bradford as his quarterback. He's a quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator of the St. Louis Rams now. He hasn't spoken to Sam Bradford. Let's say they get a deal done 2 weeks before the season starts. How sloppy is that football going to be for the first 4 weeks of the NFL if all these coaches aren't able to coordinate with their teams, aren't able to coordinate at least with the quarterbacks and say, hey, here's my philosophy, here's some stuff maybe you should be studying while we're not allowed to talk or things like that?
Well, it's so backwards because the players can get together and the coaches can get together separately, but they can't combine each other. And I really wonder who's trying to put that in place. If it's a power play by one or the other, the owners or the player, what was formerly known as the union, I wonder who that is, because it just doesn't make sense from either end to do that.
One thing that's scary about this whole CBA situation, and we'll talk about this more next week after the tournament sort of gets closer wrapping up and we have some more time to talk about it, but it's looking more and more likely like the NFL is going to at least lose a couple of games this year. Because when you talk about all the trials that still have to take place and all the hearings that have to go before they can even start negotiating again, you're now talking late into the summer before they can even get back to the negotiating table. So it should be interesting to see what happens as this whole situation goes along. When we come back, we'll start our AL Central preview. We'll talk Royals and Indians. That's coming up next. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.